Live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
It's Sunday sermon time. Oh, baby, can you feel it? Not literally, because it's not a tangible object, Kevin. Tis a podcast. Yes, it's Sunday sermon time. It's the standard that we all aspire to. It is, we need to talk about ghosts. Hooray! Of course, in this show, we do not mention the naughty C word because we all need a fucking break from it. Swore very early in the episode. I do apologise, children. The only thing I hope is that you're all well, you're all looking out for each other, and we're all just being nice. Because you know what? The rest of it will take care of itself, I think. I've taken up cross-stitching. Yes. Yeah. So I'm halfway through cross-stitching a tapestry of Libertines frontman Pete Doherty's face. Yes. So that's what I've been doing. So it only becomes a concern when my workplace say, "Hi, Kevin, can you fill in this form to show us what you've been doing all week?" And I go, yes, I can, but it's going to be on some cross-stitch paper, if that's okay. And it is a picture of Pete Doherty. I hope you're all filling your time with such worthwhile efforts as I. Anyway, we do have news. Yes, we have no news. Oh, as you'll see, there's no Becca on this episode, but she will be popping down later to say hello. We've just recorded the Patreon episode for this week, so that's going up just after this, if you're a Patreon. We have a bit of a weird Patreon episode. I have a bit of a rant about breeders. Yeah, very strange episode, all things considered. But big news on all fronts. We're going to release a lot more content because we've got time in our hands to do so. So on Monday, there will be a release, and that release is me and Becca. It's the first episode, if you will, of something I'm calling We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. Although, we're trying to keep it a bit spooky, but, you know, we've only got so much ghost content that we can do. And like last week has said, during these times, I think familiar voices are very helpful. That's what I'm finding. But at the same time, I'm finding that when I do listen to one of my favourite podcasts, if there's too much going on about the naughty C word, I turn it off because I'm trying to get escapism from it. So that's the point of those podcasts. So, I said it last week, but I'll say it again. These episodes that are going to start coming out every couple of days midweek, they're probably not going to be about ghosts. We'll try and keep them on tack, but they're probably not going to be. That's there aside from the show. The main We Need to Talk About Ghost show comes out once a week on a weekend, and it will be called We Need to Talk About Ghost. You'll see clearly from the title that it'll be called, the midweek ones will be called We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. So if you just want to stick on the ghost thing, that's fine. Just, you know, just don't listen to them. No one's harmed. And just listen to the main shows. But I get the feeling that everybody needs a little bit of comfort out there. And when I say comfort, I'm not being so big-headed to say that I bring comfort to the world. I'm like Joe's comforter. No, what I mean is that, like I've just said, we could all do with some familiar voices, a bit of a distraction and a bit of a laugh. So there you go. That's what we're going to do. Other big news. And this is big, big, big. Should put an echo effect on that. Next week, Saturday the 4th of April. Yeah. Yup, yup, yup. 8 o'clock GMT. We, as in me and Becca, will be streaming live from the flat on the Facebook group where we will be hosting the biggest paranormal and ghosts and unexplained quiz in the world. Citation needed. It's basically, we decided to do it because we've seen other people doing quizzes about stuff that we're not into. And I said, you know what, there should be a paranormal quiz. I'd be banging into that. Hello, I'm going to do it. So, next Saturday, 8 o'clock GMT. And I've looked, and that works out well for all of our listeners across the pond, because I think it's like, is it 7 hours behind in California? So it'll be like 1 in the afternoon. I think it's 4 behind in New York. So it's about 4 in the afternoon. I think it's 7 behind in Vancouver. So it's not like the middle of the night for anyone. You can tune in. All you need to do, go to the Facebook page, not the group, the page, because that's how I can make it public. So you go to Facebook. Interesting website you've developed there. Facebook.com/talkaboutghosts. That's facebook.com/talkaboutghosts. Go down to the events page and you will see next week. Just say you're going and it'll remind you to do the rest. You just tune in. Basically, my computer just told me it's got a virus. How very ironic of you, Mr. Laptop. I have the driest sense of humoured laptop in the north. So yeah, that's all you need to do, basically. It'll be really fun, if I say so myself. I'm going to be hosting it. Becca's going to be joining in with a few questions. There's 7 rounds of 10 questions on any number of paranormal slash ghostly slash unexplained topics. We're also, I'm so happy and thankful to say, going to have a few bonus rounds brought into it. Yes, by some of your favourite podcasters. So I've asked and they've agreed. The wonderful Emma and Dan from Real Life Ghost Stories are going to be submitting some questions for the bonus rounds. They're doing one of the bonus rounds. One of the other bonus rounds will be Brennan from Ghost Story Guys. He's going to do some bonus questions. And we're going to do a third bonus round as well. I'm just waiting to hear back from that individual, so I wouldn't want to name him, shame them, in case they say no. And we're also possibly going to have just a Becca round where she's going to ask us questions, probably about Heat Magazine or People Magazine or, you know, something which isn't ghostly. That's made her sound dead thick. She'll love that if she ever listens back, which she won't. Anyway, so that's something that we're going to do. I think it's going to be a good laugh and we could all do with a laugh. Tune in next Saturday on the Facebook page. It's going to be great. In the meantime, you remember last week, I did say that Once we've sorted our running costs out of the Patreon for this month, we're going to donate the rest, some to the NHS, some to frontline workers in the US, and the rest to a COVID-19 research fund. I also asked that anyone who gets in, so if you donate to Patreon between now and then, that's fine, that's where it's going, between the end of this month even. However, as I said also, we're not trying to, it may come across that we're trying to monetize the situation, which we're genuinely not. So if you don't want to do that, but you still want to do something lovely and go and donate elsewhere, email me and let me know and we'll treat you just like a patron. Yep, we'll send you a patron link and we'll give you a thank you on the show. Because we just have to be nice with each other. That's all you got to do. It's not hard, is it? It turns out that it's very easy to be nice. Just swallow your pride and be nice. So with that in mind, we do have a few patrons that we'd like to say thank you to. And also a couple of people who have informed me they've done something nice. Now, two of those people have emailed in to say that. And now they both want to remain anonymous because why wouldn't you, you bloody altruistic heroes? But I am going to read out one of them. Well, the other one basically sent me a photocopy. Is that still a thing? Or a scan of a sheet that they've posted around their neighbours. Asking with a little list of chores that they can do for them, go to the shop and all this carry on. Just bloody lovely. So they're going to get something, but they want to remain anonymous. Another person who wants to remain anonymous has sent me an email in, and this is called Good Things in BC, which I imagine is British Columbia. They say, hi, Kev, Becca, and the resident flat ghost. Yes. You don't need to share this. Oh, I'm going to. It says, I prefer you keep my name out of it, if that's okay, which we will, of course. But you did ask on the recent podcast for good things being done by people in the midst of these rather weird times. And I think this counts. My mum and I were very bored 2 weekends ago, self-isolating, decided we wanted to do something nice for the frontline staff, particularly nurses and doctors at our local hospitals in Vancouver, or Vancouver Island even, because they're working tirelessly to try and keep us all healthy while putting themselves at risk. Very noble. We decided that chocolate was a good way to go, so we made around 200 wrapped chocolate bars with homemade wrappers on them, just saying thanks, and delivered them to hospitals in the area. We did it as anonymously as possible, and even though we probably put in at least £300 of our own money, $300 of our own money, and about 30 or so hours between the two of us, cutting the wraps, taping them to the bars, seeing the smiles on the nurses' and doctors' faces was very much well worth the time and expense. I'll include some pictures of the wraps and chocolates with the email. If anyone wants to do this for nurses or doctors they know, please feel free to send them my way, or give them my email address, and I can send them the actual PDF of the wrappers. We also did a non-chocolate version with just a nice message for people who can't have chocolate or don't like it. Anyway, hope all's going well, and all the listeners are hanging on in there. Lots of love. Anonymous. So, sincerely, if you want to follow that, I think that's just absolutely amazing. Sincerely, I've got a little well of, some weird emotion that I don't generally feel. I think it must be, I don't know, what is it? Appreciation? Am I not normally appreciative? Is this a strange alien concept to me? Anyway, if you'd like to follow that lead, email me, contact at Talk About Ghosts. I'll pass your details on. And then they'll send you out the pack and you can do that to yourself. It's just being nice, isn't it? Isn't it bloody lovely to be nice? Honest to God, I love it. I absolutely love it. So thank you to those two guys. And sadly, because you're both remaining anonymous, It's going to be weird to include you in the thank you song that I normally do for Patreons, but I will try. So a big thank you to our new Patreons who are going to be donating through my Patreon for this month to this life that we find ourselves in. So a big thank you going out to Kerry Strong, Mary Kay, Lils, Riley Ray, and Neve Deffley. Yes. And of course, our two anonymous people. So I need to just wangle all this into a song. So when I come back in 0.2 seconds, you'll hear the guitar and we'll have a song. I told you, here's the guitar. This is a thank you to you guys. We thank you, Neve Deffley. We thank you, Riley Ray. We thank you, Lils and Mary Kay. We thank you, Kerry Strong, and Anonymous One, and Anonymous Two. We thank you. Without you, we couldn't keep the lights on. But that's a metaphor, we'd still have lights. Without you, we couldn't keep the show going. Well, we probably could, but it'd be worse. So thank you, you guys. Guys. Although you were all girls, but you know, you got to try and keep it gender neutral if you can. So sincerely, thank you for all that you do there for the show. As I say, once we've paid our running costs, the rest go into charity for this month. And if you do anything nice, like the two anonymous guys, email me, let me know. You know, just be nice and I'll be nice to you and we'll all be nice together. If you want to become a Patreon, go to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. There you're going to get an extra podcast each week, normally me and Becca rambling like today's one is. But also during this time period, there's going to be a few extra stuff up there as well, like watch-alongs and stuff like that. Anywho, don't forget as well, before we go into the stories, get on that quiz on the 4th, yeah? Facebook.com/ talk about ghosts. Go and sign up. It'll be funny. And if it's not funny, it'll be funnier to that fact. Okay, guys, let's find out what's happened this week in the week of weird. Yes, it's time for our wonderful Week in Weird segment. And this week, we have one of my personal heroes of all time. I'm a massive Nirvana fan, have been since they were out, and of course, we're going to discuss Mr. David Grohl, because he's came out to Rolling Stone and said his latest album was plagued by a series of ghosts. Bah. Yes, talking about the recording of their 10th album, he said, "When we walked into the house in Eneco, I knew the vibes were definitely off, but the sound was fucking on." That's such a rock and roll way of dealing with ghosts, isn't it? Grohl said, according to NME, "We started working there and it wasn't long before things started happening. We would come back to the studio the next day and all of the guitars would be detuned. The setting we put on the board, all of them had gone back to zero," he continued. Why he's turned into an American superhero, I don't know. "We would open up a Pro Tools session and tracks would be missing. There were some tracks that were on there that we didn't put on there. Just like weird open mic noises. Nobody playing an instrument or anything like that. Just an open mic recording in a room. And we'd fucking zero in on sounds within that. And we didn't hear any voices or anything really decipherable. But something was happening, man." Dun, dun, dun. So then they set up a Nest Cam to see if anything was going on. And he says, "We started to see things on the Nest Cam we couldn't explain. So they took it to the homeowner where they were recording, who detailed the house's illustrious past. But Grohl wouldn't say what he found out. I had to sign a fucking non-disclosure agreement with the landlord because he's trying to sell the place. So I can't say what exactly happened in the past, but these multiple occurrences over a short period of time made us finish up the album as quickly as we could." Very interesting, eh? That is so good. Thank you, Mr. Grohl, for sharing your terrifying experiences. I think we can all say the bride looks terrified. Well done, Mr. Grohl. I, for one, a huge Nirvana fan, so hearing Ghost Stories from Dave Grohl literally makes my life. And that is today's Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
And we're back for some actual spookiness and scary stories. I say plural on the stories because our first group of stories come today from a good friend of mine who is a colleague in work who I've worked with now for about 8 or 9 years. And he has written down his tales, some of our workplace that I share with him. Although we now work in different areas, but that's irrelevant. So, he sent the following email in. Hi Kev, as you know, I've been threatening to send something in before your first episode aired. But I've been far too lazy to actually do it. Given the C-word situation, I thought I'd best fulfil that promise. This is a short collection of stories in response to a story I told to colleagues regarding an experience I had whilst at work. I'll begin with the story that I told and complete with two new responses. This is story one. I was working in a small contact centre supervising a couple of advisors. They were positioned along a bank of 8 desks facing each other, with my position located at the end of the desk. Think of a long dining table with one seat at the head of the table. To my right was the entrance to the room, approximately 10 to 15 feet away. The door was made of wood with a thin vertical glass section near the handle so you could see through it. This is important, remember this detail. The contact centre was separate to the other departments within the building and was always the last to leave, with the late shift finishing at 9. The rest of the departments finished between 5 and 6 p.m. with the rest of the building empty by 6:30. This particular night was no different. Everyone had left by 6 p.m. as it was a Friday, and let's be honest, who wants to hang about and work on a Friday with after-work drinks and all the likes? Last place I wanted to be was in work, but hey, it pays the bills, right? So anyway, like I said, it's myself and some advisors, and I'm sat at my desk working through some emails when I get the sense that something is to the right of me, just in my peripheral vision. I look up and see all the advisors are on calls and look to the right to where the door to the room is. It's the only entrance to this particular room. As I'm looking at the door, I can see someone looking in through the glass slot of the door, hands cupped with their face against it. This wasn't an uncommon sight, as people would check to see if their colleague was in the room prior to coming in and discussing whatever work-related queries they had. I glanced down and looked at the time on my PC and realised it was just past 8 o'clock. Everyone should have by now gone home. I looked back up and no one was there, so I decided to go and check to see who it was and to check the building had been secured properly. When I opened the door and walked through into the corridor that led to the communal kitchen, the lights came on. It dawned on me that the lights are automated and come on when the motion detector is tripped to save energy. The other office and main reception area were both dark. I completed a short patrol through the other office and into the reception area with the lights going on as I went to each area. The main door was secured on swipe access only, in brackets, you needed an active security card to access the building and the rooms. To give a perspective of timescale, I looked at the clock and made my way to the door all within about 2 minutes, and completed a full patrol of the kitchen, office and reception within under 5 minutes. The light stayed on for 15 minutes before going off. This means that if the face peering through the glass was a co-worker, the light should have been triggered at least one of those areas prior to me walking through them. To this day, I still can't quite explain what it was that was looking through, but I spoke with another supervisor about my experience and they said they'd experienced something similar and would often see someone or something walking past the glass towards the kitchen, but when they checked, there was no one there. Chris, that is an amazing story. We've spoke about this story in person. And to put it into perspective, guys, the building that Chris is talking about, it was very secure. I say it was very secure because it was burnt down in a horrific car fire, which made the news, made national news. It was on New Year's Eve about 2 years ago in the arena that we work. The entire car park was full of cars for people watching an event. And there was a fire No one knows how it started, but it spread from car to car very quickly and billowed black smoke across the city centre. It was a huge fire which led to the demolition of the car park and the office, which we're talking about here, which was underneath. And I've worked in that office as well. And it is exceptionally eerie when you get past everybody going home and you're the only building in, you're the only office in. Because as Chris rightly says, the rest of the areas do then go into darkness. So that is so eerie. And I've felt eerie in that building myself when I've been in there. It's interesting to say, there's a lot of room. I've not had anything proven, but in the building and construction of the arena, many years ago now, about 12, 13 years ago, maybe longer, there's rumours there was a few deaths in the building of it as well, just to say. So that's Chris's first story. What a story. But Chris continues. Story two. After telling this story to one of our venue teams, they said they'd seen a ghost in our main building. The team are responsible for setting up events and have access to storerooms and back areas within the venue that are unknown to the public and, to be honest, most staff too. Once everyone had left site, contractors, colleagues, public, event organisers, etc., it was the job of the venue's team to reset the rooms, checking all the equipment and putting them back into the storerooms. Then they locked down the building and informed security that they were leaving site so a full lockdown and security check could commence. That said, one night, everyone had left and him and his teams were clearing away the last couple of rooms. He told them he would finish the job on their own so the others could have an early dart. This was something they did regularly and took it in turns to do so. Upon reaching storeroom 12, he noticed somebody go past him and into the storeroom as he was bent over collapsing a table. Thinking that one of the lads was about to play a trick on him and jump out on him, as he was putting the equipment away, he thought he'd return the favour. As he brought the table into the storeroom, in brackets, which was dark as there was no point putting the light on as the light from the room outside filtered through enough to where the tables were stored, he saw a shadowy figure to the left of the door. He placed the table to the side and ducked down behind it, crawled back along the wall towards the figure, planning on scaring them. When he was in the couple of feet of the figure, he jumped out and screamed. But yes, you guessed it, there was no figure and no one had left the room. Anyone leaving would have blocked the light coming into the room by casting a shadow. But this did not happen. He went and put the light on and looked around. There was no sign of anyone. Then they checked the corridor outside again. There was no one there. Upon leaving, he decided to check with security to see who had entered the storeroom. But on CCTV, no one had entered the room and the team had already clocked out. He was unable to find an explanation for it and swears that someone had walked past him into the room and the figure had stood there watching him. Wow. Now, I know the place we're talking about. Just for backstory, we're talking about an arena. Just like any other arena in the country, in the US, around the world. You know, it hosts gigs, venues. It's a 10,000-seat arena. We've had Paul McCartney, we've had Diana Ross, we've had the lot. So it's a big venue. But it's relatively modern, is the thing. It's like, as I say, it's about 13 years old. So you would surmise and say, well, why does that mean? How can a ghost haunt such a new building? But it's built on the docks. Now, there's been warehouses along those dock fronts since like 1600s. You know, Liverpool was one of the busiest ports for all sorts, including, unfortunately, slave trade. It was a large port for slave trade. Yeah, just fascinating. Terrifying, and I'm getting doubly scared because I can picture, I've got the unfortunate advantage of being able to envisage everything Chris is talking about here. But I think we can all agree that this is currently a very scary group of stories. Voila. Calm down, Kevin. It's only an email. Tell yourself that, Kevin. Come on. So story three from Chris. This one is quite short, but takes place in the same building as story two. A security supervisor was completing a patrol one night after the building had gone into lockdown. Everything seemed normal and there were no signs of anything untoward. All the day staff had left site with just the night shift security on site. They were based in the control room and they took it in turns to complete a regular patrol of the campus. When they reached the artist's village, which is based underground, they heard a noise and saw through a glass window someone go past the door and up the stairs of a fire escape. As no one should have been on site, they radioed this through to control, who began monitoring CCTV. And they went to investigate. They went through the door and up the stairs, their footsteps echoing loudly on the steps that make up the fire escape. The only way out of this floor is above, which they went to. As you come out of the door, it leads you to a large open space, so it would have been obvious if anyone was there, but they couldn't see anyone. Upon checking with control, they'd been monitoring CCTV on the entrance slash exit to the fire escape on this level, but they said no one had been through, and upon completing a sweep, they had not seen a soul. They just put this down to the security supervisor seeing things, but they have sworn blind that they saw someone walking up the stairs, and you know what? I believe them. I've got some weird and wonderful stories about my old house, which I will complete over the next few days and fire across to you. As always, keep up the good work, stay safe, and big hugs to you and Becca. Wow, what a series of stories about my workplace. Tell you what, I didn't see that coming. That is terrifying. But you know what the good news is, aside from all of those terrifying tales, is I've spoke to Chris about the stuff that went on in his old house. And he's actually got a photograph of something, which is really, really weird. Really weird. Like a 2D person, full size, twisting round. It's very weird. So when he does send over the other stories, Chris, if you're listening, please also include that photograph because I will put it on the Facebook page. Wow. I think we can all agree. How about you guys? Have you got I'm interested to know if there's a relatively new build building that for some reason, like that place we're discussing, my place of work, has paranormal activity. Because we always assume, don't we, this building's been there since 1702, and therefore Fred, its former butler, rattles chains and pots and pans. But it's very, very rare that you hear a ghost story where it's like, this building was built in 2012, and it's haunted to F. But if you've got a story like that, let me know. Don't forget, as always, send any of your stories across to contact@talkaboutghosts.com, and we'll make sure that we read them out, because it's the lifeblood of the show. Wow. Amazing. Thank you, Chris, for those stories. Okay, let's have a quick midpoint and then we'll get back to the scare tactics. Whoa! See you on t'other side. Yes. Then is then midpoint, and midpoint is then mine in Houghton. Wo is then midpoint, and midpoint is then now. Now? Yeah. No, bring. There we go. There's our slightly racist weekly nod to our German disco buddies. I hope you're all fantastically well at this midpoint stage. Hey, get onto this. This is really interesting, if I do say so myself. I have just been in receipt of this month's 14 Times, which I am a subscriber to. Yes, I subscribe. I get it delivered. I don't want to be with a riffraff and a news agent. And at the back, they normally have like a comic strip that they put together about like folklore-ish or myths and legends and stuff. I've just found that this month's episode or magazine, it has something about Liverpool that I didn't know. And I'm both embarrassed to say it, but listen to this. In Toxteth, in Liverpool. Right, this is the magazine. You can hear it, just so you prove I'm not lying. This is called Burning Judas. Right, apparently, in Toxteth in Liverpool, which is literally a five-minute walk from where we live, there would be a time from like 1900 to the 1950s, but apparently it went on for a few hundred years before that, that gangs of children would, on Good Friday, would carry totems of Judas on sticks, and they would go around terrorising local people and like bang the sticks against the windows and say, Judas is short for a penny for his breakfast. And similar to trick or treat, you'd have to go out and give them money or sweets or whatever like that. And then they'd all make fires and burn Judas. And it was like a thing that says here, the tradition of burning Judas was confined to a few streets in Toxteth, Liverpool's dock area, for a matter of a few years. In the 20th century, it's thought that children first saw Portuguese and Spanish sailors flogging a Judas on the decks of their ships on Good Friday, which is an Iberian Easter custom. How interesting is that? It just shows that, you know, Docklands cities, and you find this in history and stuff, and And anyone who lives in a Dockland town like New York or Portsmouth or places where there's an infamous, famous dock. Infamous, famous? Shut up, Kevin. You know what I mean? Where they've got a big seafaring town. It's normally a lot more, I don't want to say cultured, because that implies other words, other places aren't cultured. But it definitely seeps a lot of culture from other parts of the world that come in via the boats. And there's a prime example. You know, it's an Iberian, I think, is Spain, isn't it? Iberian cultures. And that's a little suburb of Liverpool that now follow or did follow an Iberian Spanish custom, which had came over on the boats. Just fantastic history that you learn. There you go. Slightly paranormal, is it? Well, I suppose. Burning effigies of Judas is a bit witchcraftian, don't you think? Yes, so key message for the midpoint is share this quiz because it's going to be great. I'm saying it's going to be great. We might have bad signal. It might be absolutely awful. But if we get enough numbers doing it and it's worthwhile, we'll start a GoFundMe for some charities or something. I don't know. But I done a live gig on my Facebook feed yesterday and I watched it back. I don't know, for about 45 minutes. And the quality of it wasn't great. I mean, I was great. You know what I mean? My songs were immaculate. I had Simon Cowell on the phone saying, oh, please sign. I was like, no, I'm fine working for a pittance. But the video quality wasn't great. It was like an intermittent feed. So if any of you guys are tech heads and you know the best way to get a quality video feed live streamed, seriously get in touch and give us a bit of a hand. Contact at Talk About Ghosts. The more, the merrier. But if you want to take part in the quiz, there's no prizes. You just play amongst yourselves. Then get on the Facebook page, facebook.com/talkaboutghosts. Go to the event page and click attending and then it'll give you reminders and that's where it'll be streaming. Yeah. Going to try and find a way if we can put it on YouTube as well, live streamed. But I think it'll be a bit of a laugh, and we all need one, don't we? Why not? Let's just be stupid. There's funny humour in stupidity, I think. In the meantime, and in between time, we'll get back to more spook. But don't forget, if you have a scary story, that builds up the lifeblood of the show. If you've always thought, you know what, I just don't have the time to send stories into Kev, you do now. So send those stories in. Contact at talkaboutghost.com. Okay. Let's get back to some stories. And just before we go into some stories, Becca's just WhatsApped me an amazing, you know, like these spiritual magazines, Psychic Weekly and stuff, and they're largely just bunk, aren't they? They're a load of crap. But this is amazing. There's an actor in the UK called Bradley Walsh. If you're in the UK, you'll know of him. He hosts The Chase, and he also does acting. I don't know whether he's reached America, but we have like a UK version of CSI and he acts in that as a detective. Anyway, there's an article here called Celebrity Past Life and it says, Bradley Walsh suffers from a painful eye condition called blepharitis. In the 1600s, he was forced by his father to witness his mother being burned as a witch. His poor father had no choice or his son too would have been burned. Bradley's eyes still burn today as a result of this unforgettable horror. It's hysterical nonsense, but it's also prevalent to me because I also, remember when he had that eye ulcer the other week and I couldn't stop banging on about it? Ocular ulcer or whatever it was. That's because I have blepharitis. So does this also mean that in the 1600s my mother was burnt as a witch? Possibly not. Anyway, just a little, nice little interlude there. It's going to be a big episode, this, I think. I've just looked at the time already. We're already past half an hour and I've still got loads to go. Hooray! Everyone said in unison, I hope. Okay, so our next email comes in from one of our new Patreons. Yes. And she's written, before we go into the story, she's written a little bit beforehand. She says, hi, Kev. Hi. I'd like to take this moment to say I love the podcast and the community you're building. Thank you. Your podcast has been an incredible source of a good scare and entertainment. I hope you and Becca are both doing well and staying healthy and safe as the world works together to overcome the challenges of the C word. Can I just say, I love the fact we're all calling it the C word. Brilliant. I just finished listening to your latest episode, episode 101. I was shocked when I heard your listener story, Roommate from Hell. When I was younger, I had a similar experience to her, where she woke up in the night by something pulling her leg. I imagine you mean like your roommate there. I felt so validated to hear the story that it gave me the courage to share my stories, and I would like to share it with you. Thank you. I rarely ever share my stories with anyone because I know most people won't believe me in any way. Well, you don't have that trouble here. Let's see. In fact, I've told my husband what happened to me as a youth and he doesn't even believe me. If you would like to use my experiences on the podcast, please feel free. But I would appreciate it if you could maintain mine and my family's anonymity. Oh dear. I think you'll find some bleeps where names should have been there. I do apologise. I don't read this in advance, you see, generally, so I can give a real reaction at the time. I'll have to go and edit that, won't I? So you probably heard a large boop before, and that's because I've just went back and edited the name out. Apologies, Jane. It's not called Jane. Okay, I would like to apologise in advance for the length and my terrible storytelling ability. Hey, that's fine. I tell stories terribly, Jane. Your name's not Jane, but it is now. So many things happened in the house and it was quite therapeutic to get it all out on paper. So without any further ado, the next story from Jane, not Jane, is called The House Across the Street. I would like to start off by saying I know my story might be hard to believe for most. To be honest, it sometimes feels like it happened a lifetime ago and could have all just been a bad dream. But sadly, I'm reminded of its authenticity, as my mum, cousins and friends all remember the same things as me, with only slightly varying details. For example, my mum only remembers slamming cupboards in the kitchen, and my cousins and I remember the pots and pans being thrown around. It's been over 10 years since we moved out of the house, and yet I remembered it all vividly. Hearing your listener stories and your personal accounts have only further validated these experiences for me and given me the courage to share them. I was born in the Northern Territories of Canada, but moved to the prairies with my mum and stepdad when I was 6. We moved into a small 2-bedroom basement suite in a quiet family neighbourhood and life was pretty good. I started at my new school and made friends quickly. We lived at that house for several years until I was about 8 or 9 without any paranormal incidents or any uncomfortable feelings. Unfortunately, it wasn't to last, as the owners of the house sold it and we needed to move with little notice. Luckily, there was a ground floor apartment quite literally across the street. We could see it from our tiny living room window, and it was available to rent for cheap. My parents asked me if I wanted to come to the viewing with them, and I was so excited. We saw the house, and that excitement grew, as it would mean a bigger room, a large yard, and I wouldn't have to move schools. My parents signed a month-to-month lease that day, and we were scheduled to move in at the end of the month. And that's when it all started. Later that same day, after the viewing, I was lying in bed, and my parents were asleep in the room next to mine. The house was dark and quiet, but I couldn't get to sleep. I rolled over in bed and glanced out of my open bedroom door into the living room, and that's when I saw it. It was a tall, pitch-black man with beady, glowing red eyes peeking around the doorframe, staring at me. That's horrible. Oh my God. As a child, I'd leap out of the window, literally be like, Mama! Boomf. Honestly, that is... Oh, I don't even want to think about it. I literally don't want to think about it. I bet he had a hat on as well, didn't he? They all have bloody hats on, these terrifying creatures. Ugh. Anyway, back to the tale. A sudden sense of crippling fear came over me and I couldn't move. I couldn't even blink. I think it must have eventually noticed that I could see it because it pulled quickly back around the corner and the feeling of impending doom lifted from me in an instant. I'm sure only a minute or two passed, but it felt like an eternity. The sudden relief of its disappearance was so powerful I fell asleep almost instantly. Looking back on it years later, I still try to rationalise what it could have been, but can't come up with anything that makes sense. The glowing red eyes couldn't have been the glow from the TV power button, as the TV is on the other side of the living room and couldn't be seen from my room. Plus, the head was too high up and there were 2 glowing red eyes and only 1 button on the TV. I was young at the time, but looking back, I can remember a pretty distinct change in me during that month before we moved into the house across the street. I was no longer a happy kid, and I started getting bullied really badly at school. You know what? I hate bullies in every way, shape or form. Bullies are a sign of bad parenting. I'm sorry, they just are. No child that's been brought up well goes out to be a bully. So it's the parents who should be battered with sticks, I think. Yes, let's use sticks. Sticks and bramble bashes, yes. And I'm sorry that you were bullied. That's horrible. June. Your name's not June. But we continue. Some of the kids were people I thought to be my closest friends. I started having horrible nightmares and sleepwalking. One day, my stepdad awoke to the sound of the basement door opening. He got out of bed and found me sleepwalking at the top of the basement stairs, unlocking the outside door and about to step out, barefoot and in my pyjamas. When I think back to that night, a part of me that likes to scare the absolute shit out of myself wonders if it was calling me to that out to the house across the street. I know that's a huge stretch, but I do truly believe from the bottom of my heart that whatever it was, it wanted to weaken our spirits before we moved into the house across the street the following month. The new building had three levels that were each their own apartment. We moved into the main floor apartment and the landlord, who was an older gentleman, lived in the basement suite. During our first night in the new apartment, my mum and I both heard what sounded like someone in the kitchen walking round slamming the kitchen cupboards. I was freaked out, but my mum assured me it must have been our new upstairs neighbour getting a late night snack. Later that day, we tried to introduce ourselves to the upstairs neighbour, only to discover that no one was living there. In fact, it was completely empty and had been for several months. Not ready to jump to any conclusions, my parents then said it must have been the landlord in the suite below us. My stepdad was a truck driver, and shortly after moving into the new house across the street, he was given the overnight delivery shift to the farming communities around our city. This meant my mum and I were left in the house alone 5 nights a week. Every night, we were awoken to the sound of someone shuffling through the kitchen and loudly slamming the cupboards. But we both wrote it off as it being the landlord. What else could we do but to try to make ourselves feel better? Little did we know, it would all escalate over the coming weeks and following years. One night, I was awoken to the sound of someone cooking in the kitchen. I thought it was my stepdad getting home early from work and rolled over and fell back asleep. The next morning during breakfast, my stepdad asked me why I had pulled all the pots and pans out of the cupboard and not put them back. I was taking a home economics class at school and trying to learn to cook. I had gotten up early in the past to try my new cooking skills and surprise my parents. Usually, it was horrible. Overcooked and rubbery eggs for breakfast, but I digress. On this particular occasion, I was really confused and told him I had been asleep all night and hadn't left my room. He then told us he came home from work to find all the cupboard doors in the kitchen wide open, things all over the counter and the pots and pans all across the floor. My mum and I were both so scared that I started sleeping in my mum's bed every night my stepdad was working. We would cuddle and try to ignore the sounds coming from the kitchen. One morning I woke up a little earlier than my mum. The sunlight was starting to come through the window above my head as I laid in bed and during the rare quiet in the house. I was feeling a little uneasy and my eyes kept drifting to the corner of the room, the closet at the side of my bed. I finally decided to try and shake it off and get a little more sleep. I rolled over to snuggle my mum, and just as I was starting to drift back off, something tugged on my hair hard enough to pull my head back with a jolt. I quickly turned around to look at the corner, but I couldn't see anything. My sense of fear and unease was overwhelming, but I didn't know what to do. How do you fight something you can't see? I scooted closer to my mum and put my back to hers, unwilling to turn away from that corner again, and fell back asleep. Eventually, odd things started happening during the daytime too. We would all be sitting in the living room watching TV when things would go flying across the room. Sometimes it would be things on the coffee table that would get swept off by unseen hands. Other times we would hear a loud crash in the kitchen, only to find things from the counter on the other side of the room on the floor. Regardless of where in the house or what was thrown, we would all be left speechless, scared and confused every time. Another frequent occurrence is I would be sat on the couch in the living room watching TV, and people would come back from the bathroom or bedrooms looking at me with confusion on their faces. They would ask me if I'd just been walking through the hall towards the kitchen. I would tell them I'd been watching TV the whole time they were gone. Each time they would swear they'd see me walking into the kitchen and around the corner into the pantry. They would follow what they thought was me into the pantry only to discover it was empty. They wouldn't be able to explain it as there would be no way for me to get from that end of the house into the living room without walking past them. My mum and I would smudge every few months and these sorts of things would happen every few days or so. These things weren't so much terrifying as they were confusing. By the time I was 12, I was an extremely unhappy kid. The bullying followed me into junior high and I was dealing with sexual harassment from some boys in my class. Bloody hell, you know what, kids are horrible. I personally had a very lucky in school. You know, I was obviously the class divvy, so I was like, hey, look at me, hey, bim, 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 doing a cartwheel. I wasn't a tough guy, so you had to make people laugh. And I kind of got away with it, but my brother, on the other hand, was very bullied. And he was older than me, and it was really hard to watch. So I just think kids are horrible, generally speaking, and it really kills me, it really does. So my heart goes out to you here, and to anyone who's being bullied. You know what, if any kids do listen to this and you're being bullied, I promise you it will get better. I promise you it will. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, the people who are doing the bullying, they end up being no marks. Nothing. They do nothing with life. So don't worry about it. You just crack on. And tell people as well. You know, be safe, people. Be safe. Anyway, back to the story. Sorry. And I'm sorry that you dealt with all this, June. Your name's not June. It was around this time that things got even worse at the house, if you could believe it. Looking back, I think a lot of what we were experiencing the first year at the house across the street could have been brought on by the Shadow Man. However, after that first year, things got way more intense. I know there's a prevailing theory about poltergeists is that they were brought on by teenagers going through troubled times. You know what, Kev again, I was going to wait till I'd finish this and then say it's interesting the age you were at and all this happening, but you've touched on it yourself there, so well done you, avid follower of the paranormal. So, where were we? I know there's a prevailing theory about poltergeists is that they're brought on by teenagers going through tough times. I was definitely a troubled teenager with chaotic energy due to the bullying and harassment, and I wouldn't dismiss the possibility that I was the cause of the poltergeist activity. Sometimes my experiences made me question my own sanity. Unfortunately, there would be times that we would wait a little too long in between smudges. That's when the truly terrifying things would happen. One day, I had a particularly rough day at school and wanted to have a shower when I got home to wash away the day. My mum and stepdad weren't home yet, but they were supposed to be soon. I hated being in the house alone and would always play music to drown out the knocks and bangs happening in the other areas of the house. Sometimes I would bring our cat into the bathroom to keep me company and make me feel less alone and frightened. I was about to finish up my shower when I saw a swoosh of air move the curtain from the bathroom door opening. I hadn't heard anything due to the music, but I saw a shadow move across from the door towards the toilet on the other side of the curtain. I assumed that my mum had gotten home and needed to use the bathroom. We are the kind of family that isn't ashamed to use the bathroom with each other in there, so I didn't think anything of it. I stuck my head out of the curtain to say hello to my mum, but no one was there. The cat was curled up in the corner of the bathroom with her heckles up, just staring at the side of the bathroom where the toilet was. I turned off the water and got out of there as fast as I could. On a separate occasion, I was home alone while my mum and stepdad went grocery shopping. I was on the phone with my best friend and a boy I liked, listening to music and being awkward preteens. We were having fun until my best friend asked me who was in the room with me. I told her I was home alone, but she and the boy said they could hear someone muttering in the background and it was creeping them out. I thought it must have just been the music I was listening to getting distorted through the phone. So I got up to go and grab a different CD from the living room. Cell phone in hand, I opened my bedroom door and was about to step through it when I was shoved by unseen hands. I hit the door frame and fell out into the hallway and landed sprawling on the floor. It took a moment for me to realise I must have hit my knee on the door frame as I had a cut across it and it was bleeding. I told my friends I needed to go and I hung up to call my mum. Unfortunately, she didn't answer. I hung up on her voicemail to try and call my dad instead. That's when the kitchen exploded with sounds of pots and pans being thrown everywhere. The kitchen was only just around the corner from where I was sat frozen on the hallway floor holding my bleeding knee. I was so petrified. I slowly dialed my stepdad's number and waited in fear as it rang, but he didn't answer. I called my friend back and in a whisper I begged her and her parents to come save me. I told them someone was in the house because I couldn't bring myself to tell them what had actually happened. Even if I did, would they even have believed me? They lived only 4 blocks away and were there in what was probably only a couple of minutes, but to me felt like an eternity. When they arrived, my friend opened the door with a spare key. We kept under a rock. As soon as her dad entered the house, everything stopped. From the doorway, he could see the mess in the kitchen and me huddled on the floor. He quickly crossed the room and helped me up. We exited the house together and joined my friend and her mum on the lawn. I was just about to explain what had happened when my parents got home. Together, my stepdad and my friend's dad went back into the house, but there was no one there. I refused to ever be in the house alone after that night. One night, a year or so later, I was lying in bed talking to a boy on the phone. It was late on a school night, so I was whispering so I wouldn't get into trouble. We talked for an hour, and towards the end of our call, he asked me what the noise was in the background. I told him the house was quiet and I was the only one up. He said it sounded like there was someone talking in the background the whole time we were on the phone, and it was really starting to creep him out. I tried to not think of the incident from the year before when my friend said she heard something similar. We said our goodbyes and I curled up in a ball asleep. I used to sleep on my tummy with my head under the pillow and my toes tucked between the mattress and the bed frame. I was just about to fall asleep when all of a sudden I could feel two cold hands grab my ankles. That just really freaked me out. Ooh, take a breath. Okay. I was pulled half a foot down my bed before I had the chance to scream. I laid there motionless on my belly for a moment as I tried to catch my breath and slow my heart. I remember thinking to myself, you just twitched in your sleep and woke yourself up. Go back to bed. But when I went to roll over, I realized my legs were hanging off the foot of my bed up to my shins. I have no way to rationalize that experience away. This circle of smudging and waiting for the next major terrifying event went on for years as we continued to live in the house. All the while, we had the almost daily strange occurrences of things flying across the room and the sounds of an angry person slamming cupboards in the kitchen. My stepdad didn't believe my mum and I when we said there was something in the house. Even when he would see things with his own eyes, he would fall back on his blind skepticism. As the house was always freezing, he would blame everything on a really bad draft. Years after we moved out of that house, my mum confessed to me that some nights she would wake up and look out of her bedroom door into the kitchen, where she would see a tall shadow man staring at us while we slept. I'm sorry, but how does a draft manifest in a shadow man? Eventually, my little sister was born the year I turned 15, and the poltergeist activity started to quiet down. However, mild things would still happen from time to time that I would be comfortable blaming on the shadow man. We had a few different upstairs neighbours come and go over the years, but no one ever stayed longer than a couple of months. Thankfully, the shadow man didn't follow us when we moved out of that house, but now that my little sister is 12 years old, things sometimes happen around her as they did to me. Again, I apologise for the length of my story, but I hope my experiences give a sense of validation or closer to any of your listeners who have had similar experiences. Keep up the amazing work and I look forward to the next week's episode. Cheers, June. Her name's not June. She also goes on in the email to thank us both for pronouncing her name right during a Patreon song. I can't read that part out because you could go back to that episode and find out who I'm talking about, which completely defeats the point of anonymity. But June, your name's not June. But oh my God, what an amazing story. And you know what? I don't care about the length. As you've seen, I mean, that's the last story we're going to be able to tell on this show. It's took up the entire second part of the show. And so it should, because it's just such a good story. If you've got a story, it doesn't have to be as detailed as that. But you know what? All the things that are in there is everything that we, as people who know background on paranormal activity and stuff, and we do. Let's not fake this. Do you know what I mean? I mean, if there are people listening to this podcast who have a general no knowledge of paranormal activity or ghost stories in general, you're probably going, oh my God, this is amazing. But we all know, the people who listen to these podcasts over and over again, like paranormal podcasts, and read about this sort of stuff, we know the link between puberty and poltergeist activity. And there's classic activity of it there. There's classic evidence, if you like, of it happening there. Some of the descriptions that you've put in that story, June, genuinely are some of the most terrifying things that I can picture in my head. And I'm in a really, my creativity is going through the roof in terms of, not creativity, my imagination's going through the roof at this present time in life. And I can vision all that and I am terrified. I can see this shadow man with the red eyes just glaring at you. I mean, yes, I've put a hat on him because I do like to accessorize my ghosts when I think of them. But that is just terrifying. Just terrifying. So thank you ever so much for sending that in. Again, I'll repeat the email address if you've got a tale you want reading out. It is contact@talkaboutghosts.com. Wow. Wow, wow, weeba. Will I sleep tonight? Time will tell. Anyway, as we say each episode, if you can't give to the Patreon at patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts, that's absolutely fine. But if you want to go and leave us a review, that's free to do, and it helps the show. And we've had some lovely reviews in the last week, so we're going to read them out. And I'm going to ask Becca to join us. She may say no. She can be fickle. But let's see. Be still, my beating partner. It is indeed. Rebecca has arrived to read some reviews, haven't you, my love?
I have. Hello.
What have you been doing with your time whilst I've been down here recording?
Just chilling.
Chilling? Isolating?
Yeah.
Isolation. I'll just tell the guys, we're doing a quiz next Saturday.
Yeah.
Facebook streaming live.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, it'd be good.
It'd be good. It'd be interesting to you because you'll get an education, won't you? Because you won't know any of the answers.
So you mean I'm going to have to tolerate it for the duration?
Yeah, and I've got a funny feeling. I've said it could last between an hour and a half. Well, because I like to ramble, it's probably going to be like 5 hours long.
Yeah, you're going to have to, I think, because it's going out to a wider audience, you might have to like streamline it a bit. You know, you can't just do your usual.
I'm thinking this, you know, because there's going to be a lot of people, I think, who are going to say, I'm into ghosts, and they'll sign up to do it. And they won't expect this dickhead to be going like, ah, look at this. Ah, look, a potato. Ah, Becca, get me a potato. And they were like, I hate the host. This is crap. Why am I watching this?
Yeah, I think it needs to be like semi-professional. You need to kind of do it all right. You know what I mean?
No.
Like it needs to actually have proper questions and stuff. You can't just wing it. You're going to have to actually write a quiz.
Yeah, and I'll write a quiz and there'll be proper questions, but they're going to be on fucking ghosts. I'm not going to...
Well, yeah, I know, but that's the point of it, isn't it? It's paranormal and ghosts. That's
well, it'll be on ghosts, UFOs, cryptids, you know. The general sort of unexplained people. Yeah. Anyway, you're here to read out reviews for the end of the show.
Apparently so.
Never mind, apparently so. I mean, I suppose we will mind, apparently so, because that's why I've asked you down.
I can't believe you've brought me down here to read reviews. About. I'm not even in them.
Oh, yeah, that's the funny thing. I said, Becca, will you come downstairs and do you want to help me read the reviews? And she said, am I in them? It's like, we'll see. And she's not, and she's fuming now.
Your ego knows no bounds, does it? You literally bring me downstairs to read out reviews about you.
That's a good point.
I just want to hear this out loud from someone else.
Like, yes, and when you read it, there's only two this week, so I'll read one. You can read one.
Oh, so I've got to stand here and listen to one as well.
Well, mine's very short, but it's much appreciated. Okay. But when you read out the long one, I'll just look gazingly out the window and stroke my brows. Okay, so our first review, 5 stars. Love it, it's called. Very, very funny and love the songs. Enough said, keep up the jollying. Did I read that out last week? Oh, yeah. I don't think it did. Anyway, you can read out that next one there.
Oh, gee, thanks.
The
so
top
it's
one.
5 stars. It says, I might have re-listened to every episode. Hey, Kev, Alex Butler here. Just wanted to say how much I love your show and really enjoying the changes you made to it. Didn't think you could make it any better than it already was, but here we are. Keep up the great work, and also I love all your original music as well. Very nice. That's Alex in the United States of America.
Sorry, I'm just online trying to get a world's greatest person t-shirt made for myself. I'm joking. I'm not good at that. This is very strange for me to get praise like this. It's very bizarre. It's very nice of you too.
So you just brought me down here to wax lyrical about you for a bit, read out some 5-star positive reviews, and then you're done with
and
me.
And your work is done, yeah? Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Thanks for that. You're going to go and put me tea on, Gail?
No, I am not.
I'm only joking. I'm paying for your takeaway tonight.
Are you?
Yes. You look, Almaz, you lucky, lucky thing.
Excellent. Worth it in that case.
Yeah, so, the first review was from Keslar72 in Great Britain. Thank you, Keslar. And the next one, obviously, was from Alexander D. Butler in the US of A. He's a musician too, and he's very good. Check him out. So, that brings us really to the end of this week's podcast. We've managed to get through the whole thing without mentioning the C word. We're now referring to it as the C word because it's fucking useless. And we're just going to have fun, laughter, and frivolity. Mm-hmm. I've told the guys already that from Monday we're going to release the thing that we recorded the other day, me and you rambling about everything and nothing.
Yeah.
And we're going to put out a couple of them a week, aren't we, really?
Yes.
Whilst we've got the time on our hands.
Yes.
Spread the love. Get rid of the C-word nonsense. That's petrifying everyone.
Spread the love virtually, not in person. We will be staying in, as everyone should be.
And that was a party political statement by the Becca Party. Yeah. I don't know whether I've told these people, but we're waiting on news of a cat, aren't we?
Yeah, you're not supposed to supposed to tell people
that. I know we're not supposed to tell people that. But come the quiz, there may be a naughty little fairy competitor.
We can only hope. We can only hope.
Anyway, on that bombshell, guys, yous are all wonderful. I love each and every one of you, both individually and collectively. Don't forget, if you want to send a story in, please do. contact@talkaboutghosts.com. If you want to give to the Patreon, as I say, this month's one, after we've done our running costs, we'll be going to charity, mate. All charity. That's patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. If you do anything nice between now and the end of the month, or during this whole thing, actually, forget the end of the month. If you do anything nice between now and the end of this nonsense, let me know about it. We'll sing you a song and we'll try and send you a link to a Patreon show. I think that's about it. Other than, don't forget, go over to the Facebook group, facebook.com/talkaboutghosts, and go and sign yourself up for the quiz on Saturday. As we've said, thankfully, so grateful to the wonderful podcasting duo of Emma and Dan over at Real Life Ghost Stories. I know that they've said they're giving us a few shout outs about the quiz as well, which is really good of them. It's just a nice thing for us all to get. All those weirdos need to get together and have a bit of a laugh on a Saturday and a few drinks. Or if in the US and it's the afternoon, a few drinks, because there's no time to go when you can drink, because school's out for summer, baby. Okay, in the meantime and in between time, take care of yourselves and each other, and tatty bye. Say bye, Becca.
Bye, guys.
Aw. Say it again.
No.
Are you just too cute? Bye, guys.
I am not.
You are.
I am not.
We need a cat quick, otherwise.
You need to learn how to close these.
I can't. I've got abandonment issues. Is that what it is?
I doubt it.
No, just crap at closing things down. Okay, chaps, see you all next week. Au revoir and tatty bye.